We are in Build a Better Business, and we've all been chatting and getting to know each other a little better this morning. Ruth and I started off, and Sally, were you in Wendy's room this morning? I don't think you were. Yeah. I think you were in mine. Okay. Ruth and I started off in Wendy Blum's room this morning, the Speaker Society Club. And then at 10 o'clock, Elise and Ruth and Sally and Debbie, we were all over in the Freestyle Living Tribe Club. And now we are on Build a Better Business. The third Monday of every month is my busiest day because I have several things have all hit on the same day, but it's all good. It's all good. We're talking about storytelling in Build a Better Business. So when we talk about how to build our better business in January, we did everything concerning a VPS, our value proposition statement, what our promise is to our customers, our readers, our viewers, what is it that we're promising to deliver? But that changes because as you go through this whole series, you get more clarity. And so you want to go back and tweak it. I know I keep tweaking mine. And then in February, which we're in, and we had three meetups in February, we always have the free one that everyone is invited to. And you'll notice the link tree that I sent out this week. I'm trying to streamline how I announce everything because it was taking me a lot of hours to type all that out every week. So I'm trying to streamline how to announce it to everyone. And you'll notice on the free meetup, everyone is invited to that one. And we pretty much just give an overview of how to build a better business. And we get a little deeper here on the mastermind calls. And so on February 11, we had our actual free one, but February 7 and 21, it's the first and third Monday at noon, we have our mastermind. And so last time we shared a couple of our stories and we talked about the template that I have in my website on my Work With Me or my About Me page. And I have plugged my bullet points into that template and created my Work With Me, About Me page, my story, so to speak. Ruth has also done that and she shared hers. She did tweak it a little and share hers. And today I want to show something a little bit different. And so I'm going to share my screen. So bear with me here for all of you folks that are listening as soon as I can find it. It always takes me a minute. Here we go. Can everybody see that? Ruth, I can see you on there. Give me a thumbs up if you can see my screen. Good. Okay. Now it's telling me that I have low quality. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And again, I think it's because as soon as I start opening things up, my Zoom call doesn't do as well. This is another version of the hero's journey. You're going to start at the top where it says the hero in his natural environment. And I'm going to just kind of use me as an example because you all have heard my story several times. And so you'll kind of see how it flows together. I was just, you know, minding my own business, working my job, my two minimum wage jobs. My mom was helping me with Jennifer and she sat me down one day. You'll remember this in my story. She sat me down one day and said I had to get on with it. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? And she said, you've already worked for 20 years. You don't have a lot of savings. You're just getting through payday to payday. She said, in 20 more years, you're going to need to retire. And what are you going to live on if you don't put some money back? That became my call to action. We're going to go around this circle clockwise. So that became my call to action. My call to action was, okay, I need to do something for retirement. I only have 20 years to do something. But then I kind of refused the call. I'm like, well, you know, I've got a little IRA with my company. You know, I'm putting some money back. You know, well, my $25 a month. Yeah. Was I going to really live on that? When you think about retirement, you know, if you're just working payday to payday and then you retire at age 65 and, you know, Ruth's talking about, you know, she's going to be going strong at 90. Well, what are you going to do from 65 to 90? If you're only putting back a very, very small portion, $25 a month, really? Like once I went out to dinner once a month, what was I going to pay the rest of my bills with? So that was kind of my refusal to the call. Well, then I finally met a couple of coaches that became my mentors, and I saw that they were doing more. And so I just started observing them. I just started watching them. And I had to cross the threshold. And you see, that's the next thing in the step. I had to cross the threshold. This crossover right here between meeting the mentor and crossing the threshold, that is a decision. You had to make a decision. So you had to realize you had some call to action, which I like to call an aha moment when my mom said, you better do something. I was resistant. I finally met somebody that was doing something about it, and I had to make a decision to cross the threshold. Okay, so now I'm going to give it a try. I'm like, okay, well, and I remember I met Mark about that time, and I remember telling Mark, the only way that I can see that I can make a go of it is if I buy real estate. So now I'm getting ready to buy my first piece of real estate. Oh my gosh, ladies, was that a disaster? Now it turned out okay, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. We bought our first piece of real estate. We thought, oh, here, the house looks great. There's nothing to do. And I went down to Canal Winchester City. And since there's all ladies on this call, you'll appreciate this. I walked in and I said, I saw this commercial building and I want to make it a salon. And what do I need to know? And I kid you not, the guy behind the desk at Canal Winchester City put down his newspaper long enough to look at me over his glasses and said to me, do you have a dad or a husband you could send down? I was like, what? I was 40 years old. This wasn't like I was a 17-year-old. I said, no, my dad is dead and I'm not married, so you're stuck with me. So he said, well, bring lots of money. And he went back to reading his paper. I realized it was going to be kind of a trial and error. And so once I had that piece of real estate purchased, then I had to learn really what I had to do. The city goes, well, we want you to have an underground drainage and a whole paved parking lot. And you have to have reinforcements under the floors. You have to have an architect draw up plans. Well, I had put back about $5,000 to rehab this house. And for those of you that know that I bought a house in downtown Canal Winchester where the center of the town had turned commercial. So it was already zoned commercial. And I bought that house and I thought, well, there's nothing to do, but I've got $5,000 to buy my, you know, to pretty it up, to put pictures on the wall and to buy some brand new nail tables and some hair stations. Well, the first thing I had to do was have an architectural drawing to make sure it was suitable to be a salon. And there went my, and that cost me $5,000. And now my $5,000 is gone. And I haven't even done anything yet, but buy drawings that I had to turn into the city for them to even approve me to be a salon. So it was definitely a learning curve. So that's where I started to meet my allies and my enemies. Well, again, it was a decision. Debbie, I can see you. Give me a thumbs up if you can still hear me. So anyway, every so often my computer tells me that I'm on, that I have a low quality transmission. I just want to make sure you guys can still hear me. So anyhow, that's where I met my allies and my enemies. And so I had to make a decision there that I was going to figure it out. This is where I would look in the mirror every day and say, I am smart enough to figure it out. Other people had commercial buildings. There was going concerns. There was bookstores. There was coffee shops. There was pizza shops. And I thought, I certainly can open a doggone salon. And so I had to align myself with my allies and realize who was in my corner. So there was a huge growth for me and I had to learn some new skills. And I finally got my first success when the Board of Cosmetology came out and approved our building to be a salon. And the fire marshal walked through and gave us our occupancy permit. So if any of you know anything about commercial buildings, you have to have that occupancy permit in order to occupy, be allowed to occupy the building. So that was my first success. So now I'm like, woo, I've arrived. Well, not quite yet. Now, all of a sudden, I really had some trials. I started because I thought, okay, the way to make this work is now I have to hire staff. I have to hire cosmetologists. I have to hire nail techs. Well, one of the first things is one of my clients And her name is Terry. And I'll just give you her first name. And she was a local gal and she was my nail client. And she said, I hate my corporate job. She said, if I go to nail school, she said, can I, you know, work in your salon? I'm like, absolutely. I'm looking for techs. Well, fast forward, she left her corporate job. She went to salon school. She came out as a nail tech. I gave her a station. She started working. And, you know, I wasn't trained to be this big corporate boss or anything. And so now her son gets killed in a car accident and she just has a meltdown. And of course I run over to her house. We're friends. I feel bad. She feels bad, you know, and she comes back to work and she puts a picture of her son that got killed in the car accident on the corner of her nail table, which was fine. But everybody that came in, every client that came in that didn't know her, you know, they're just looking for someone to do their nails. They're like, oh, is that your son? She would have a meltdown every day, right in the middle of the salon. Customers would, their eyeballs would be out of their heads thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with this woman? She would have a meltdown every day. Well, here I am. I'm the owner of the salon. I'm expected to know what to do with that. Now, at this point, I've got 12 girls working full time, and all 12 of us would have someone in our chair, and then all 12 of us would have someone else, you know, waiting, you know, because you know, one customer would show up before the other customer was totally done. So all of a sudden, I had a building with 36 people in it, and I'm expected to know how to handle all of these dynamics, all of the personalities, everything that's going on. And I don't know about you, but I just wanted to do nails. I just wanted to buy the real estate. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to figure out how to actually run this thing. I have to figure out how to deal with all of these different personalities. And I would have customers that would come to blows over politics. I mean, they would be shoving each other. And I'm thinking, ladies, you're in a salon, give it a rest. And then not to mention, you know, you always hear about the gossip, you know, in a salon. Oh my goodness, could I tell you stories? My customers would tell me things and I would just be shocked. I must have lived a very sheltered life at some of the stories that I would hear. So I had to move on around this circle. I had to discard my old self and accept my new role. I had to figure out how I was going to make a go of this thing because I was depending on these stylists and nail techs. I was depending on their rent to pay my mortgage. And so I had to grow and I had to learn those new skills. I had to discard the fact that I was just going to be just a nail tech and buying a building. And I had to accept this new role of management. And I had to learn how to do that. So that was kind of a tough road because I had to figure it out. I had to find other mentors. I had to step up to that challenge to where it finally was successful. And so now, see, I'm crossing over and now it's becoming normal. It's becoming my ordinary world. You see this line that goes through this graph? Oh. Now it's becoming my ordinary world again. I had learned some skills. I was getting all the order back. I now felt like taking new place in the old world. So now I could duplicate. I could repeat what I was doing. I was ready. And so from there, I could leverage the equity out of that first salon building, and I could buy a second salon building because, see, I'd learned all the hard stuff all down around here, you know, the trials, the allies, the enemies, the growth, the skills, the grand trials, the accepting my new role, the road back. I had already navigated all of this. So now once I'm back up here and it becomes normal and it becomes ordinary, now I am ready to, as they say, 10X the business. So from there, I leveraged the first building and bought a second one. And then a couple of years later, a third, and then a fourth, and then a fifth. And I ended up actually owning 5 salons. So anyway, my point is this is the hero's journey. This is how you create your story. So I don't know about you listening today on this call, but I'm sure you were interested to see how in the world did Kathy navigate that? What did she do next? What happened? What's the ending? And that's how people are with your story. Now, I told this story on just one building and then how I 10X'd it with other buildings on real estate. I can do this on several different ways. I could start my story about how I actually went to salon school and how I learned to do nails and what my first failure was. The first full set of nails that I did, they looked like kindergarten nails. And I'm like, am I really going to charge somebody for these? You know, so I could create a whole story around this circle on just doing nails if I were talking to salon girls. You see where I'm going with this? I could create it all the way around if I were talking about purchasing real estate in general, not just a salon building. I could do the story all the way around on writing my first blog post. You see where you can take this hero's journey and you can create all as many stories as you need that are pertinent to your business. Does that make sense? So let's talk about that. And I'm going to stop sharing so I can see everybody's faces, but let's talk about that. Did everybody get the gist of what we were doing? And I'm going to actually put that graphic in our membership site. If somebody, you know, is interested in printing that, I'll make it downloadable so that you can get to that. Because you can see how well it works. So comments, questions.
Kathy, while you were doing that, I found a link that I'm just putting in.
You went on mute, Sherry. Sherry, you're on mute.
Sorry.
You hit the button. We heard you at first, and then it jumped over to mute.
Okay, sorry. Sometimes my computer's been doing that lately. I don't know why. I put this link in there while you were talking about the hero's journey. I was like looking for your graphic and I found this article on the hero's journey. And it's actually a layout of the act 1, 2, and 3 and what to put in the different sections. So it shows you how to lay out your story a little bit. And then there's another one that I just bought this book. It's called The Pop-Up Pitch.
Okay.
And The Pop-Up Pitch, I just did this the other day. It's how to tell your story in pictures only.
Interesting.
And then he teaches you how to take those drawings and actually do it as a PowerPoint, which I didn't get that far in the book yet.
Well, you can see where when I went around that hero's journey and I told the story about the salon, and again, I could go to the 30,000 foot view and make it just about, you know, leaving the salon industry and becoming a coach. I could do the hero's journey story from a distance, or I could zero in and do it on real estate. I could do it on salon. I could do it on, you know, writing. I could do it on creating my first mastermind. There's all kinds of times that you can use that hero's journey to create your story. Now, what I want to say is once you go over to my website on my Work With Me page where the bullet points are, it's the same journey, but it's in bullet points down the page. And it's to help you write your story. And like Sherry was talking about with hers, what was it called? The pop-up where you're using the pictures.
The pop-up pitch. Yeah.
And she hasn't gotten to the part of doing a PowerPoint with it yet. Once you have your information and put it into a PowerPoint, you're ready for speaking gigs because that's your talk. I just filled out an application this morning to be a speaker on another platform. And one of the things that the questionnaire asked me at the very end is it said, what else do you want us to know? And what I said on my application was, if you have a speaker that cancels at the last minute, I can fill in. You see, I can take any piece of my story and I can make it fit any topic. And so because I have all of those different parts and pieces of my story, I can actually fill in. If a speaker, you know, if it's a financial symposium, I can fill in. If it's an inspirational symposium, I can fill in. If it's for an entrepreneurial symposium, I can fill in. You see where I can take my story and I can fit so many different topics. And it's already my story. I don't have to prepare. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to sweat bullets the night before and go, oh my gosh, I got to write out my speech. I'm supposed to talk tomorrow and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I already know what I'm going to talk about. So thoughts on that?
Kathy, and yes. Listening to your story, I was working on my story. I haven't gotten real far, but I started getting into it. And the realization that I had listening to you was, oh my God, I've been there and done that just in another venue.
Yeah.
About the unfairness and, you know, and different things like that. And When I look at it, I apologize. Let me put my camera on. When I look at it, I just, I need to get my story out there because so many people have experienced what I have experienced, even though mine a lot of time came from a discrimination because of my color. I'm a female also. So, you know, a lot of females have experienced likewise. Yeah. So, you know, there's a story that's out there and, you know, you never think of yourself, quote, I never thought of myself, quote unquote, as a hero per se, but I initially stood up for my coworkers because they were being taken advantage of. And I stepped up and said, no, we need better than this. I was very young. But you
have a passion for that. See,
I did. I was like 20 years old and I was able to negotiate a much better contract for us, you know, whereas others, they just, you know, took whatever management gave. And, and I happened to read it and, you know, lo and behold, I'm like, this isn't right. And that's not right. Anyway, long story short, I got us a better contract and ended up, you know, union president and all that kind of good stuff. But when you talk about the things that really got me was when you said the guy looked over his glasses and he said, where's your dad and where's your husband? And I'm like, yeah, I remember back in the day, and I know I'm dating myself, but when I applied for my job, they would ask you, you know, when are you planning to get married? How many kids are you going to have? And, you know, there was a time in, you know, if we went to work, we couldn't wear pants. I mean, it was a control thing. And I'm not a rebellious person, but I don't like injustice and I don't like unfairness and I will fight to the end. And, you know, so anyway, but just listening to your story, you know, my eyeballs popped open because I'm like, oh my God, she's been where I've been.
Well, I have another story for you that's probably closer to your story. When I was 17 years old, I went to, back in the day, they had these, what I want to call it, where you could get a job. It was like an agency and they would have all these jobs and you could go apply at the agency. Now, we're not talking a temp service. We're talking where they would actually place you in a full-time permanent job. And it was an actual job agency. So anyway, I went to one and the girl says, well, she said, I don't have anything in Lancaster. I'm 17. I'd only realized like a week earlier that there was a such thing as a mall because I grew up out on the farm with no electric and no water until I was, and no phone till I was, and no TV until I was about 12. And so by the time I was 17, you know, I was pretty green. I was pretty naive. And she said, I don't have anything in Lancaster, but she said, if you're willing to drive to Columbus. So I didn't even know where Columbus was. And so a friend of mine took me under his wing and he said, look, don't get on the freeways. You're too young of a driver. He said, I'm going to show you how to get to this company because I took the job. He said, I'm going to tell you how to get to this company without getting on the freeway. And so he did that. And I would take the back streets, you know, because I had to go all the way up to Broad Street. So now I'm working for Buckeye Union Insurance Company. It's now Continental. They're still there on Broad Street. And I had an African-American boss, female. I didn't think anything about it. And the same day that I got hired, the only other girl that got hired, I didn't know what she was. Not that I cared, but she looked Spanish to me. You know, she was light complected, but not. And she had like curly hair, real shiny curls, long. And anyhow, she and I, because we got hired the same day and we were both scared to death because we were both getting this new job and we're both 17 years old, we kind of hung together. You know how you do? It's kind of like, don't leave me. I'm here all alone on my first day. So she and I went to lunch. She says, well, she said, I didn't get hired in the same department. What time is your lunch? I told her, she goes, yeah, mine is too. She goes, well, we eat lunch together. I'm like, okay. So this building, Buckeye Union Insurance Company, Continental now, they had a cafeteria in the bottom floor. And the cafeteria, and this is important to the story, was open to the public. So other companies all around there on East Broad Street would come over there to go to lunch because it was too far to drive out in, you know, out to Hamilton Road or to downtown to move your, you didn't even want to move your car once you got into Columbus, especially because you had to pay for parking and you couldn't find a spot. And so long story short, everybody from around there, if they could walk, they would come over there and have lunch. So she said, let's go down and have lunch. And it was a cafeteria. It was inexpensive. It worked for us. We were 17. We were making all of $95 a week or whatever. So we go down and we have lunch. And of course it's like school, which we just graduated from high school. So it was totally normal to us. And there were these big, long cafeteria tables. And so we found a couple spots at the end of a table and sat down and had our lunch. So anyhow, this went on for about 6 weeks. And one day my boss called me into the office and this was, the phraseology was acceptable at the time. She called me into her office and she said, I have heard a rumor that you are sitting at the black table. I said, what? What does that mean? And she says, I heard a rumor that you're sitting at the black table. And she said, and it's not acceptable. Now I was 17 years old. So Estella, here's where I can relate to you. I bristled and I stood up and I knew that I could very well lose my job. I stood up and I said, may I ask a question? And she said, most certainly. And I said, am I paid for my lunch? My lunch hour. And she said, no. She said, you clock out and go to lunch. And then you, now remember, this cafeteria was open to the public. And she said, no, you clock out, you have lunch, and then you clock in when you come back to work. I said, well, then until I get paid for my lunch hour, I said, I will sit wherever I please. And you don't have any right to tell me where to sit. I said, is there anything else that we need to talk about? And she said, no. And do you know, I did not get promoted for several years. Everyone around me got promoted, but I did not get promoted for several years. And I'm sure that was because I took that stand. And Vicky, my girlfriend, she and I became very close friends. I would go stay overnight at her house. She would come and stay overnight at my house, you know, and we were just, because that was our bond, is that we got hired the same day. We didn't know anybody. And we just became very good friends. And we both were very offended by that. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me then. It doesn't make any sense to me now. But that's what I experienced when I was 17 years old. And I took a chance to stand up for myself. And again, I'm sure that's why I didn't get promotions for several years. And it wasn't until she left, my immediate boss left, we got a new boss who didn't know that story. And that's when I started, and then they scratched their heads. And they go, why haven't you been promoted? And I ended up being the supervisor of the whole rating unit of that insurance company at 21 years old. And they're like, why weren't you promoted earlier? And I'm like, well, I could probably tell you why, but but I didn't want to keep that going. So
right, right. Just let sleeping dogs lie. Yeah, yeah. I just was writing my story and you just bring back so much stuff, but you know,
but here's the sad part. It happens today and I hate that. And people are experiencing things like that today. And I just don't understand. And again, I'll get off my soapbox, but I had hoped in the number of years that I've been alive that we would have evolved to a better place. And it seems like we've evolved to worse in some instances.
In some regards, yeah. We've made some progress, but we haven't made, I mean,
it's almost
and a lot of it is just a larger thing to really, I mean, to keep us divided, really, you know, and I was just thinking the other day, our motto is United States, united we stand, and the enemy forces are doing everything they can to cause us to be divided, and they use the most simplistic thing, the easiest thing, which is, you know, color. I'm like, come on now. Nobody decided what sex they were going to be or what color they were going to be or how tall or, I mean, we didn't have that decision. And to think that somebody is superior because you have blue eyes and I have brown eyes is stupid. But if you can get a wedge in between us and cause us to think that one is less than the other or greater than the other or whatever, we are divided and we will not stand.
And now it depends on what Republican or Democrat you are.
It's just another element. That's a whole mindset. Whether it's religion, I remember coming up, and I'm sure you ladies do too, many of you, depending on your age, when, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants over in Ireland, I mean, they were just at major war because of a thought. You know, I'm like, I mean, you just in any nation, you know, I mean, if they can't differentiate on color, they're going to differentiate on something. And the bottom line is, we're all just lucky to be here, you know. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know.
And I get it. So,
you know, anyway.
And I think and what's going to happen is we're so divided right now, and then we'll get off of this subject and back on building a better business. But this happens to be part of building a business, because you're going to have some of this that's going to come in to your circle, and you're going to have to know how to navigate, you know, these kinds of scenarios. Just like, you know, when my boss called me in and told me I was sitting at the black table, I had to make a quick decision at 17 years old how I was going to respond to that. And I took a chance. And so anyway, it's what it is. But the way it is today is that we're so divided, and it's more than just Republican and Democrat or black and white. It's so many different variables. And so it's always us against them, you know, and they're trying to paint it that way all the time. So it doesn't matter who wins. You're going to have seven other groups that lose. And it's all about winning. It's not about the end result of, like Estella said, of being united, no matter what we're trying to be united about. It all comes about whoever's going to win. And then if you don't win, then you lose. And nobody wants to lose. And so anyway, and so I don't know the answer, but I'm glad that those of us on this call can see past all of that, because it's crazy. It's just
What happens is, Kathy, what you did and what I did, which is, you know, we can't fix the world, but we can fix that little part that we have. Mm-hmm. We can be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
Exactly. And I probably paid the price, but I was willing to do that. I was willing to get fired that day. So not getting promoted for a few years was probably better than not getting fired, because I was prepared to get fired that day. I was willing to pay that price to stand for what I believed in.
Right.
So enough about that. But anyway, you can see where you can take that hero's journey, and you can craft your story no matter who your audience is. And if you craft it ahead of time and prepare some of these stories ahead of time and get them in order, get them on that circle, get them then with the bullet points on the template, and then get them into a PowerPoint. I have actually taken my story that I did on the circle, turned it into those bullet points that are in my Work With Me page, took each of those sections and turned that into a PowerPoint, added some pictures, and that is my What Is Your Freedom Number speech. And that is my go-to speech. No matter who asked me to talk, I always talk about what is your freedom number. Because when I'm talking about what is your freedom number, it doesn't matter what your passion is, because I'm a passive income coach. It's all about turning your passion into profit, turning your passion into passive income, and the passive income becomes your profit. It doesn't matter whether you want to write. It doesn't, like Elise, she loves volleyball. And if she wants to create a whole program around volleyball or whatever your passion is, you can actually turn that into passive income and then turn that into profit. And you then have your speech ready. And so that's part of your marketing. Your storytelling is your marketing. And when people hear your story and they hear the passion in your story is when they want to connect with you. You have to keep the passion in your story. And that's when people want to connect with you.
So, and Kevin,
go ahead. Oh,
I'm sorry. I have a question.
Sure.
So you took the hero's journey and I realized it went this way. Well, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. And then you said you took each one of those and created bullet points for in your build your story, right?
Right. All right.
Then after you've done that, then you took those and created a different platform or speech that you've turned into marketing.
Correct.
Okay.
That's so once you have your story and you have it in a story form where you're telling a story, then right. I just divided my story into paragraph sections over into a PowerPoint presentation.
That's
now, okay. I don't have to use the PowerPoint behind me. If you could be in an environment like this where, you know, for example, you just kind of want to tell your story and you don't want to share your screen and do all of that, you could say on your phone, you could open up if your story is in your About Me or Work With Me page, you could open that up on your phone and have it down here. And as you're presenting on a virtual call, you could still follow your PowerPoint, if you will, your bullet points. You can still follow that to tell your story if you want. But if let's say that you've been invited to be the keynote speaker of a chamber luncheon, for example, you might want to show your PowerPoint and get your talk off of your PowerPoint. And Debbie, I've seen you do PowerPoint presentations before. You do very well at that. And so once you put your story there, it depends on who your audience is as to what section you're going to create. And so you want to have more than one. So I have a speech for my cosmetology. I have a speech for my real estate. I have a speech for just finding out what your passion is. I have several. And they're my go-tos that I already have done and put into a PowerPoint. So I'm prepared. So if this public speaking that I just applied for, where the last question said, is there anything else we need to know about you? And I said, yeah, I could be, you know, I'd be willing to be on call if one of your speakers cancels. So if they call me up at the last minute, my only question is who's the audience? Give me an idea of who the audience is. And once they tell me who the audience is, all I have to do is go into my library of all of my hero's journey stories and pick the one that fits that audience the best.
Okay.
I've been able to do that too with my blog posts.
Yes.
Make them into presentations. So,
yes. And so then let's talk about that. You can repurpose this story. You can take snippets of your story and create some graphics on Canva and put it out across your social media. You can take a piece of your story and turn it into a blog post. You can take a piece of your story and have a podcast about it. You can take a piece of your story and create a course. So you can take a piece of your story and make it a chapter in your book. So you can repurpose your material so many different ways. And that makes your life so much easier. And then it all just kind of fits together. And then once you start, I'll call it practicing your story. Once you start telling your story, I don't know about you guys, but Mark is quite the storyteller. When he tells a story, my mouth moves. You know why? Because he tells the story the exact same way. It's almost like it's rehearsed, you know? And he's like, yeah, Kathy and I met, blah, blah, blah. You know, my mouth's moving because he tells, if we meet somebody new that we've not known before, I know what's coming next. I even know the little jokes that he throws in. I know the little, you know, the little twists and turns of the story to get a rise out of the listener, because he's done it for so long. He has perfected the story. Now, the story's true, but he's perfected the delivery of the story. And so all I'm saying is once you have these parts and pieces, you will start to perfect the delivery of your story. And then the nerves go away, see, because it's just, it's in there. Because it's your story and you've told it two or three times and you've perfected the delivery of it. And now when somebody puts you on the spot, you're not really on the spot. And then people go, wow, she's a great speaker. And it's all because you've perfected the delivery of your story. Estella, did you have a comment?
I had two things. First, Sherry said that she just found something that talks about Hero's Journey. And you said you were going to share that with us, Sherry?
It's in the chat.
It's in the chat.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll look at that. And then the other piece that you were talking about, telling your story, I used to coach. I worked for a company called, oh my God, I've been worked a lot of places, but anyway, I work for this outplacement company. It'll come to me in a hot second here, but I would coach like professionals and senior people in Wendy's that had lost their jobs and so on and so forth. But one of the things in terms of helping them prepare for their next job is I would tell them, find five situations in your past that were just, you know, challenging, or where you were super successful or whatever, you know, and play that movie in your head. So when you do the behavioral interview and they say, tell me about a time when, you know, you and your boss didn't get along, or tell me about a time when something went wrong with, you know, a project, you didn't meet deadline or whatever it was, they had these five or six stories that they had memorized. Mm-hmm. That they could come up with, you know, they could come up with whatever it is that they needed to say. So I totally understand, you know, what you're saying about, you say it so much and he's just replaying the movie in his head. Mm-hmm. And we need to find those movies in our head that we can just go back, and no matter what comes up, we can just say, well, in this situation or that, or, you know, so basically I thanks Kathy for the reminder of that.
Sherry.
The thing that you said that like is your bottom line, you have this freedom assessment or freedom something rather. What word did you use again?
Freedom number.
Freedom number. How did you come up? I know this is like beside the point, but how did you come up with how that structure works to have a freedom number? Because my brain went to, how can I use that idea in what I'm doing?
Well, for me, it was when I was in corporate America and I was working at Port Columbus International Airport and I had a salary and I was paying my bills on that salary. When I decided that I was going to make the transition from corporate over to being a full-time nail tech, the first thing that I did, and I don't know that if anybody else did this when we were all in salon school or not, but as I was sitting there, it must have been my first day or two in the class, I thought to myself, you know what? It's just a math problem. I need to find out how many clients do I need to make the same amount of money as I'm making on this corporate job. If I decide to leave corporate America, what is my freedom number? What is the amount of money that I need? Well, I already knew the amount of money that I needed, but now how many clients is going to equal that amount of money? And so it's just like this. So let me share this with you. Do all of you agree that if you had a $3,000 baseline every month of income coming in, that you would be it may not be the amount of money that you need to live on, but if you had a $3,000 a month baseline, you could breathe a little easier if you knew that $3,000 was going to be there every month. Okay. Watch this. Are you ready? I have a membership site. If I put in $3,000 and I divide that by $25 a month, I need 120 members to make $3,000 a month. 120. That's it. Sherry, you're on mute.
Yeah, I keep muting myself today because there's a lot of background noise around here today. So your freedom number is more of a financial, how much do you need to do that, mm-hmm. rather than what Kerry was doing with his unhackable assessment, where you get a score and you have this much unhackability. That's where I was trying to clarify in my head, where you were not creating some kind of assessment and you get a number that tells you this. Right. You're doing it. Okay.
Because he is an unhackable coach and I am a passive income coach. So my freedom number has to do with income.
Yeah.
His freedom number has to do with being unhackable. So you have to kind of tailor it to what you're doing. So
I was looking at how can I create the assessment.
Okay. And you could do that. I would go back and look at that unhackable assessment.
It doesn't totally help me in my situation. I've tried it, but I was trying to get another idea. So sorry.
Unhackable. It's a book that Kerry Oberbrunner wrote, and then he created a course on how to become unhackable. And so he had this assessment where you could determine how much you were being hacked in your day. And then after you went through his course, you could take it again and see how much you've gained. See how far you've come. It's a way to test and measure. Yes, Debbie.
So you have $3,000, and $25 is what?
Or $25 a month is what my members pay to be in a membership site. Now, what I'm doing is I'm giving them two membership sites for the same $25. That's just part of my giving back, because, for example, the Build a Better Business and the blogging one kind of go hand in hand, because we've got a lot of folks that blogging is a part of building a better business. And so they kind of wanted to do both. So I'm giving them both for the same $25. And then in my long-term rental, some of those folks want to do a short-term rental. They just want to do a couple, but they want to do more long. And so that kind of goes. And so those folks, I'm giving both for the same $25. But overall, I only need 120 paying members to equal $3,000 a month.
So how do you put that to a timeline?
That's up to you. Whenever I do my research, and again, I'm just going to do the research at large, statistics tell us that it takes 3 to 5 years for a business to start making a profit. Statistics tell, if you have a pizza shop, by the time you get all your permits and you have to, you know, go and buy all of your equipment and do your training and blah, 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 you've got a lot of money invested up front to get open. You maybe bought your building or had to lease it for 3 years or whatever. And then you had to go in and totally rehab it to make it a pizza shop. You're spending quite a bit of money. So, and you know, and now what you're going to break even on $10 pizzas. How many $10 pizzas do you need to sell to pay back all the money you've invested and to give yourself a salary and pay all your employees? We're talking a lot of pizzas. And so statistics tell us that it takes 3 to 5 years for a business to start to break even and start to turn that corner where now it's making a profit for you. So with that in mind, when I started my salon, I knew that I wanted to sign a 3-year lease because I didn't want my lease to go up, you know, because I'm going to be working really hard. You know, I'm going to have that first stylist Well, I'm still putting a lot of money in because I only have one. And then I'm going to get two stylists, and then maybe I'll have four stylists. And I thought this isn't going to happen by next Tuesday. So I'm going to have to be able to run on my own money for about 3 years before it starts to give me a profit, before I even start to make an income. So with that in mind, online businesses are the same. It takes 3 to 5 years for your online business to turn the corner, but you have to know that that's the case. And you have to statistically work it like you're working a pizza shop. Your pizza shop isn't going to be a success if you never show up and open the door. You know, if you just go, I'll go open the door tomorrow. Maybe Monday I'll start on that. Maybe next month I'll get serious about it. And that's what happens in an online business, because a lot of times we don't have a lot invested up front, which is the joy of an online business, is that you can create one without investing like opening a pizza shop or opening a beauty salon, where you have to buy all that equipment and have a space and pay rent and utilities. And you don't have that online. And so when we don't have that, I'll call it pressure to have to perform, we have a tendency to not perform. We have a tendency to go, next Monday, I'll think, next week, next month. And then after a while, we look back and our 3 to 5 years have passed, and we haven't even launched yet. You know, we haven't even had our grand opening yet, because we're getting ready to get ready. And so just know that. So if once you make the decision, then you can put that down on paper, and you can say at the end of 3 years, and again, it's strictly math. And I did this in the salon business. I said, okay, here was my salon thing. I had to make so much money a week to match my corporate salary. And I needed 20 customers a week in order to quit my corporate job. I'd have 20 nail customers a week. Well, I couldn't do nails in an hour when I started, because I was brand new. Like I said, my first set looked like kindergarten nails. So it takes a lot of practice. And so anyway, I thought, okay, how quickly can I get 20 clients? It took me 2 years to get 20 repeat clients every single week. It took me 2 years. So I kept my corporate job, and I worked part-time, and I did nails part-time, and you had to pay the piper, so to speak. And I had to stick in there, and I had to have the tenaciousness to say, I'm going to hang in here, because I know if I keep on keeping on and I do all the right stuff and I keep pushing the cart in the right direction, I'm eventually going to have 20 paying customers. That's going to just come every other week or every 3 weeks. And once I got my book filled up, my appointment book filled up, I no longer needed to worry about that. I went on, are you ready for this? I went on to where I was making about $1,500 a week as a nail tech. And that's how I was able to buy more property. But now, don't get me wrong, I was sitting behind a nail table a lot of hours. That was a lot of hours. And trust me, I perfected my trade. I became one of the best nail techs in the city. Everybody knew me as the independent salon owner. If anybody was looking for a space, they would say, you need to talk to Kathy Benner. I made a reputation for myself, but it didn't happen overnight. It took me a couple of years, because remember, in that hero's journey, I had to learn how to sit at a nail table and look right here in front of me and do nails and manage everything that's going on out here in that salon. I had to manage by sound. I could tell if the toilet didn't flush right. I could tell if the door didn't latch right. I could tell if the washing machine quit working. I could tell if there was a leak in the roof. I could tell from the sound of that salon. And I had to run that, because I had to look right here because I'm doing nails. And so I had to have my radar out here and multitask. For 25 years, I worked like that, but I had to learn to do that. That didn't come overnight. I had to learn to do that. Does that make sense?
That was so insightful about how long it took you to get 20 customers. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that just took some layers off. I mean, because you hear all the time, you know, it takes 3 to 5 years to get your business up and running, but And I know that, but the way that you presented it was extremely enlightening for me.
It's the same way in the travel business too, when you first start out. It's just, you have to get that core of clients and you still have to get new clients. And it does take time.
But you have to know that, because if not, you throw the towel in too soon. And the story we like to tell is this. How many times have, especially in my little town, Canal Winchester, I love to drive down the street and a new little shop has opened up. And I look over and I'm on my way to the bank and I got to be here and be there. And I look over and I go, oh my gosh, that's such a cute little shop. I need to go in there. But I don't have time today. And then life gets in the way and this happens and that happens. And a week goes by and 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. And finally, 5 weeks out, I have a free afternoon and I go, oh, I'm going to go visit that new little shop. I go over there. They're out of business already.
Because they didn't have the upfront money.
Well, and they didn't have the right mindset. They didn't, even if they had the money, I don't know if they had the money or not, but they didn't have the right mindset. You know, maybe they're in there thinking, well, if we're not booming by Friday, we're out of here, you know? So I don't know what they were thinking, but they didn't even give me time to get there. And how many times do I see an online business that doesn't even give their clients, their future clients, time to get there? And so that's all I'm saying is set a plan. I like to set a plan a year out and say, I'm going to do this every day for a year. And then I'm going to reevaluate and I'm going to adjust at the end of that year and see what was working and what wasn't. But I'm going to do this thing, whatever this thing is, for a full year. And I'm just going to test and measure at the end of the year and see how that worked for me. And then if I need to adjust, I'll adjust and I'll say, now I'm going to do this for the next year and see at the end of that year how that's going to work for me. And give it time for it to start resonating. Now, I'm not saying you can't tweak it along the way, but don't throw in the towel and walk away from it that year. You know, you'll get clarity as folks connect with you. You'll get clarity. And it's just like this. When I have a mastermind call and somebody brings up a question, for example, in my Happy House Hunter, somebody said one day, well, what do you think about syndicates? What? I've never researched syndicates. I don't have a chapter on syndicates. I don't know anyone in my groups that investing in syndicates. So guess what I had to do? I had to go back and research syndicates. And I had, you know, real estate investment syndicates. And I had to add that to my course. I had to add that to my mastermind. I actually brought in a speaker to talk about it because somebody asked that question. See, I realized that I had a gap there in information that my clients needed to know or wanted to know. And so I had to add that. So you'll adjust along the way. Now, I didn't throw in the towel and go, well, I don't know about syndicates, so forget that. I decided I needed to incorporate that into my material. And that'll happen to you too. As your business unfolds, you'll go, oh, I do need to kind of add that in. I need to bring this in. Make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I have to do that a lot. as new situations come up.
Yes.
Especially through COVID and all of this.
Oh, especially through COVID. And Sally, in the travel business, I tell you what, you probably had the toughest waters to navigate from any of us, because I was already pretty much online. I did have to pivot my Happy House Hunters group into a virtual group, but wow, your business really, really had to change how it looked.
Yep.
I love it. All right, ladies, we are at 1:20, so we went over a little bit, but it was great conversation. Any questions before we go?
Kathy, the replays on these are in the Build a Better Business, right?
Yes, they're in They're in the Mastermind group section, all of the replays. Okay. You'll find the Zoom code there, our schedule is there, all the replays are there, and the course comes with it. The Build a Better Business course comes with the Mastermind.
Okay. This was very, very enlightening today.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies, we are finishing up. This is the end of our Storytelling as Marketing. And in March, again, March 11 is our free meetup. And then March 7 and March 21 is the Mastermind. Same Zoom code as today. If you want to jump up here to the little green button in the upper corner, you can click on that, and the meeting ID Zoom is there. You can copy and paste it, put it on an index card like Debbie, put it over into your calendar if you want, whatever works for you. And we're going to talk about serving is selling. And so now that we have our VPS, our promise, and now that we have our stories, now we're going to talk about how can we take those out and serve an influencer that's in our lane. How can we come alongside an influencer that's in our lane, borrow their platform, and let them give you an opportunity to tell your story to their clients, which then become your clients. Debbie.
Don't you mean March 7th?
What did I say?
Monday, the 11th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's March 7 and March 21.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, March 11 is the free meetup. That's the free one, Build a Better Business, that's open to the public, just for somebody that wants to check it out. The mastermind is March 7 and March 21, the first and third Monday. So again, there's three Build a Better Business meetups in March, if you're interested in doing all three of those.
And again, and I haven't been able to get on here because I am on so many Zooms. It's like unreal.
I get it.
I don't miss this one.
you have to pick and choose. I understand. Yeah.
But the one on Friday, the 11th, how do I get to that?
That's just the free one. If you go into the Academy, you'll see the icon for the free meetups, and you're welcome to hop in there, and it'll give you the link and everything.
Okay.
Everything is in the Academy. If you just want to go straight to the Academy, because you're all a member there, and you can just go straight there, and all the information is in the Academy under whichever icon you're looking for. So if you want to do the free one or the course or the mastermind, it's all in there.
Okay.
But then the link tree that I sent out this time, and then even the calendar, the links are there to get you into the right icon.
All right.
Okay. All right, guys.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks.
See everyone later.
All right.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Yes.